Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Psalm 147, we're going to talk about the beauty of worship. How that God is great, and God is good, and God is good to Jerusalem, and then how the greatness and goodness of God is seen in His church. Now, on this idea of the beauty of worship, this psalm begins with that word, hallelujah, translated in the King James Version, praise ye the Lord. That's going to be the last word of this psalm as well. Those last five psalms begin and end with that word, hallelujah. And so we call them the hallelujah psalms. I don't know what you think about worship, but I was reading from a young friend of mine the other day that I'd known many years ago, and I found him on Facebook. I asked him, how are things at church? And he expressed such an attitude that he had held about worship that just amazed me. He said, I don't see how sitting on a church pew is going to help me any. Is that what he thinks of worship? Is that what worship is? No, no, 1,000 times no. One of the greatest joys in life is worship. And we have to mature spiritually and grow, but we will understand that as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and understand who God is, and to think that we have the opportunity to gather together with those that are like-minded and to have the attention of God as He sees us with our hearts united, lift up songs of praise to Him and glorify Him. Listen, that's just a little taste, just a little tiny sweet taste of what heaven is going to be. And so worship is wonderful. Now, you're going to see some pretty things this week because this world is filled with beautiful things, but you're not going to see many things more beautiful than what you're seeing right here as we're gathered together to worship God. We read, it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and it is comely. And that word comely is a word that means beautiful to be able to do that. In Psalm 147 in verse 7, it says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. I want you to think about that harp. They would sit and hold a harp. And in their worship, they'd take their hand and they'd pluck the strings of that harp. Can you imagine that harp I'm holding? And as they're singing, they're plucking the strings of that harp. That's what they would do in the Old Testament. Why would they do that? Well, they did that because God told them to do that. Now, in the New Testament, God didn't tell us to take a harp and to pluck the strings of the harp. He tells us to sing and make melody in our hearts. But I think you can see that if you can see that picture of holding that harp and plucking the strings of that harp, how it is that when we worship, we're to have our heart involved. The word for plucking those harp strings is the word solo. The very word from which the word psalms comes. And in Ephesians 5:19, when it says we're to sing and make melody in the heart, that word, making melody, is that word, solo. We sing, and as we sing, as we worship God, it's not just sitting on a church pew and having to say these things. We are plucking the strings of our heart. You want to get more out of worship? You put your heart into it. The more you put into worship, the more you get out of it. I don't see how I'm going to get anything out of sitting on a church pew. Well, you probably won't with that attitude, because the idea of worship is not to go see what I can get out of it. Worship is about giving. And as our Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That applies to worship. And we come together to give praises unto God and to give encouragement to one another. And we put our hearts into that worship. And that is a beautiful wonder that we, as spiritual beings inhabiting this body of clay, can enjoy while we're here on this earth. The Bible says God is... Let's talk about God is great. What I wanted to do is talk about that child's prayer. Do you remember that prayer the children used to pray? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember saying that prayer. You know where I said that? In public school. We said that every day before we would go to lunch. It was all the children would stand and the teacher would call on one of the young men to lead us in prayer. And we'd pray that prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. I remember we got so tickled because we always begin the morning with a Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer too. And one time the teacher led us in a prayer and then called on a young man to lead the prayer. And that's what he said. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for it. We thought that was so funny that he prayed the lunch prayer in the morning instead of waiting for the lunch. And we just got tickled at that. That little innocent ritual that our children, that I enjoyed as a child, our children don't get to enjoy that. Someone thought that might offend a Muslim. Or it might offend an atheist. And so it's outlawed now to teach our children that simple little prayer in our public schools. But I'm glad I grew up in a public school where that was just part of our culture. Part of being an American was a part of realizing that we are a great country because of the God that we serve. Our God, our King. We used to sing in those old patriotic songs, and "In God We Trust" was a national motto that had meaning. No more will your children be taught that little prayer in a public school, but it's still true. God is great, and God is good. And you want to know how great God is? You look up at the stars, and what do you see in the stars? Do you see lights in the sky? That's all you're going to see if you're an atheist, just lights in the sky. But when you know about God, then you see the glory of God in the heavens, because the heavens declare the glory of God. And it tells us in this psalm that He telleth the number of the stars. Have you ever pointed your telescope toward the Milky Way galaxy and seen how that glow that stretches across the sky is millions and billions of stars that are up there? God knows each one. Like the snowflakes, no two are alike. He knows the characteristics of every heavenly body, and He knows their names. And so God is great. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Can you see it in the rain? Have you ever watched the rain come down and thought about how great God is? It says in Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9, He covereth the heavens with clouds. Have you ever seen the clouds roll in and thought about the mighty God that rolls those clouds in and covers our blue sky and makes it gray and then maybe a dark gray and then those rains come pouring down? It's a sign of the greatness of God. He prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow in the mountains, and giveth to the beast of his giveth to the beast of his field and to the young ravens which cry. We read in the New Testament that God sends rain on the just and the unjust. But in the Old Testament, He sends rain not only on the cultivated land and the farms. He sends it out in the wilderness and up on the mountains where the wild beast can graze and get their food. And God cares for the ravens that cry out in the nest. And this whole cycle of things is God's providing for His world. Next time you see that rain come pouring down and you hear the rolling thunder, think how great is our God. And then God is great. Do you see it in the snow? Psalm 147, verses 16 and 18. He giveth snow like wool. Now, I've seen that fluffy snow on the ground that just looks like fluffy white wool, maybe from a sheep. But more than that, did you know snow is something that will warm you? You may not have thought about snow as something that will warm you. An Eskimo will know that. If they'll get in their igloo, they're a lot warmer than they are outside. And I know that when I lived in Nebraska, when the snow was on the rooftops, your heat bill was not near so high because it provided insulation for that house to hold that heat into the house. And in the midst of that cold, He gave us this white, fluffy, beautiful snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. Have you ever seen just that icy dust blow across the landscape? Well, you could take ashes and it would be dark, but the snow is beautiful white and silvery as He blows that across that landscape. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Think of that next time you see the sleet or you watch the hail. And who can stand before His cold? Oh, I've seen it so cold that when that door opens, you just don't even want to go out there. And it is so terribly cold. But then in the midst of that cold and ice and snow, He sends out His word and melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow and the waters to flow. And all that snow and all the mountains and the high places melt and come down, and the streams and the creeks and the rivers are filled, and great is our God. So our God is great, but our God is good. And look who He's good to. In verse 2, He gathereth the outcast of Israel, those whom society would just cast aside. God doesn't do that. He gathers them. He healeth the broken heart. He bindeth up their wounds. The Lord lifteth up the meek and casteth the wicked down to the ground. God is good to the lowly, and I'm reminded of how He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And so if you are meek and lowly, then you have a heart like God's heart. And God loves the tender and the defenseless, and the hurting, and He is good, and He cares for them. He delighteth not in the strength of horses. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. Boy, I like to see a good strong horse. See that good strong horse running, and in the old days when they would run that horse into battle, it would be a marvelous thing to see. But do you think that impresses God? What about the legs of a man? Did you see some runner or some athlete that have good legs? That's not going to impress God. God is good, and what impresses God? What does He see as beautiful and wonderful? He taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. And those that hope in His mercy. And this is because of the nature of God. God is great. And God is good. God is good to Jerusalem. It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. In verses 12 through 14, it says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for He hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and fillest thee with the finest of wheat. God loved Jerusalem and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and He would bless Jerusalem. In verse 19 through 20, it says, He showeth His word unto Jacob, and His statutes and judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for His judgments, they have not known them. God called the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai and made a covenant between them and says, I will be thy God and you will be my people. And here's how you worship me. And He gave them the pattern for the tabernacle and the mountain and ordained the priest and gave them a certain way to approach Him that wasn't for everyone. It was for the Jews. He gave them a law and showed Himself unto them in a way that no other people had seen. And they had that written law of Moses so they might know how to live in favor with Him. And no other nation had that. Why did He single out the Jews, the Israelites, Jerusalem, the seed of Abraham? Why did He do that? It's because He had plans for Jerusalem. And it's because of a promise He had made to Abraham that in thee all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And in Joel 2 in verse 32, the prophet, looking into the future, said, "In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance." And in Isaiah chapter 2 in verse 3, God says, "Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." God loved Jerusalem because that was a special plan for that city. And there was a special thing that was going to happen there that was going to bless everyone of the people of this globe and of this world. And so in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, He commanded His apostles that they should not go forth from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And that particular promise was that baptism of the Holy Spirit that would fill them with those words that would go into all the world and bless the world and empower them to perform the miracles to confirm that that word is from God. And because God had this in His plan, He loved Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He told them, "You shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So God had planned for Jerusalem. And now the greatness of God can be seen in His church. The greatness and the goodness of God. You see, there were physical things that you would point to in the old law, like that harp, that you'd pluck the strings of a harp, and that physical thing is replaced by that spiritual thing, the heart of man. In the New Testament, and that's where the emphasis is, not on the physical, but on the spiritual. And there was a physical, material city of Jerusalem that was there. But in the New Testament, we read in Galatians 4 and verse 26 about a spiritual Jerusalem, a Jerusalem which is above. In Hebrews 12 and verse 22, the heavenly Jerusalem. In Revelation 3 and verse 2, the new Jerusalem. In Revelation 12 and verse 2, again, new Jerusalem. And in Revelation 21 and 22 and verse 10, holy Jerusalem. And what that physical city was is the place where His people would gather together to come worship Him. That is now that spiritual city, His church. And that is where people gather together, come together to worship God. And so, how do we see the greatness and the goodness of God? Is it in the stars? Yes. Is it in the rain? Yes. Is it in the snow? Yes. But even more so, you see it in His church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, the apostle wrote to the intent that now when the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it's in the church where God gathers His people together for worship. I'm not talking about in a church building. I'm talking about the church, that blessed assembly. When the saints gather together, like we this morning, and we worship God, and it's good, and it is pleasant, and it is comely. And so the psalm ends. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.